Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have promised where two or three gather together, you are there with us. And we thank you for our brothers sharing with us tonight and leading us in praise. And you alone are worthy of our praise, Lord Jesus. And so we come today thanking you for it. Now, in the quiet of this moment, let's take a moment and reset ourselves, some of us from today. We've been busy going and heard all kinds of things, been involved in all kinds of things. Now, for a moment, let's practice what the Bible says. Be still and know that I am the Lord. Let's just be still in the Lord's presence for a moment. We ask that tonight, Heavenly Father, you would restore our souls and that we would again find in the Word of God our richest comfort. So, Lord, there are so many needs among us and our family, our church family, and we pray for our people who have so many burdens and struggles and life and death things that go on, loss of loved ones and others who are sick and others who are spiritually in despair. Tonight, as we think about despair and how you help us and how you renew us in our spiritual despair, help us to learn from the Psalms. May these words be our prayers if we don't know what to pray. May these words be for us life, and may they give us hope. We thank you for your word. And we commit ourselves tonight to hear your word and respond to it. And as we've been learning, to be obedient to your word. So we ask tonight that you would be with us and that you'd remove the distractions from our minds, the things we have to do after we leave here and other things this week. And for now, just for a little while, we'd have a chance to rest in your presence and to hear your word and to eat the word of God so that we might have strength spiritually to live. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, good to see you. Psalm 119, we're going to be at verse number 81. We're moving our way through. We're in the 11th section of the psalm under the letter Kaf. So we've come all the way through the psalm, midway through the psalm. And tonight, in just a moment, we'll read together, and we'll read these eight verses a few times. But let me call your attention to the faithful way of obeying God's Word. We've been building on this each week, talking about how the focus of Psalm 119 is about obeying God. And every verse has something to say to us about obeying God in all kinds of life situations. So we learn to obey God in the good time and in the hard time. So obedience to God is what we're meditating and learning about, and there is no greater psalm. So many ways that you can pray it. I recommend that you use in your prayer times. It's such a good way to get your heart going, is just take the first verse of each section, and we've seen that as we've gone along. Obedience brings blessing. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Obedience brings cleansing. Obedience brings life. Obedience brings renewal. In verse number 25, my soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. Obedience brings salvation. In verse number 41, we read, may your loving kindnesses also come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. Obedience brings comfort. Verse number 49, remember the word to your servant in which you have made me hope. Obedience brings training. Verse number 65, you have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Last week we saw that obedience helps us to learn God's word. Your hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. And then tonight, we come to what is surprising to us. So as we've been thinking about all of these wonderful things, blessing and cleansing and life and renewal and instruction and salvation and comfort and satisfaction and training and learning, all these things come as a result of obeying God's word. So when we obey God's word, when we do what the Lord says in his word, when we obey God, we experience these things. But all of a sudden, in the very center of this psalm, it's as if we go backward. It's as if we find ourselves back in a very hard place, in a place of what I call spiritual despair. And so we learn tonight about obeying God's word gives us hope. We obey God when it's not easy to obey God. We obey God when we're in trouble. We obey God when we're in despair. That's what we're working on. So what we learn from the psalm is that there is no single day that's the same as you walk with God. There is no single day that's the same. Yesterday may have been a wonderful, glorious, great, unbelievable day, and today the bottom's fallen out. And we're going to discover that trouble from enemies, trouble from the outside, continues to push on this person, this obedient person of God, this obedient one who wants to obey God, but pressure comes in his life and pushes against that. So we're in the very center of this, and yet this is probably the most despairing part of the psalm. Tells us something about our life. I want to tell you this. Obedience, when you obey God, some of us would think, well, if I obey God, it's going to get better and better and better. I'm never going to have any trouble. Listen, obeying God doesn't protect us from spiritual despair that comes from the troubles in our life. That is a part of who we are. The reason why we love the Psalms, the reason why I've been in this for 3 years talking about the Psalms with our church is because the Psalms, the psalmists, David and the others who wrote the Psalms, help us understand the language of praying. It helps us to know how to talk to God. The Psalms teach us how to tell God how we feel. So our meditation tonight is this. All God's people experience times of spiritual despair. When God's people pray in their despair and trouble, they experience hope. And when God's people live in hope, they obey God in their despair and trouble. Now, with those comments, let's go and take a few moments and read God's word. So for those of you not been with us, we read it 3 times, these 8 verses. The first time we read it to listen. So tonight you got to listen. You got to put on, Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Listen spiritually. So this is the first time through. We listen spiritually. Pay attention to what the Holy Spirit says through these words. My soul languishes for salvation. I wait for your word. My eyes fail with longing for your word. While I say, when will you comfort me? Though I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The arrogant have dug pits for me, men who are not in accord with your law. All your commandments are faithful. They have persecuted me with a lie. Help me. They almost destroyed me on earth. But as for me, I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. So what did we hear? What did we hear as we read these words? As we heard these words? So now we read for the second time to observe. So this is where we learn the practice of reading and making a note about a word or a phrase that seems to stick out to us as we read. So let's read for observation. My soul languishes for your salvation. I wait for your word. My eyes fail with longing for your word, while I say, when will you comfort me? Though I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The arrogant dug pits for me, men who are not in accord with your law. All your commandments are faithful. They have persecuted me with a lie. Help me. They almost destroyed me on earth, but as for me, I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. So we pause and look at phrases and words, and we try to connect these words so that we have some understanding of what we're reading. And then the third time we read because there's probably something here that as you're reading, the Lord is impressing in your mind, by the Holy Spirit, saying, you need to pay attention to that. You need to do that. So the third time we read to obey. So let's listen again. My soul languishes for your salvation. I wait for your word. My eyes fail with longing for your word. While I say, when will you comfort me? Though I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The arrogant have dug pits for me, men who are not in accord with your law. All your commandments are faithful. They have persecuted me with a lie. Help me. They almost destroyed me on earth. But as for me, I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. So, Lord, what do you want me to do? Well, all God's people experience times of spiritual despair. And when God's people pray in their despair and trouble, they experience hope. Hear me. When God's people pray in their despair. See, that's the example we have here tonight. Is we have the psalmist praying in despair. You don't pray when you feel good. You pray all the time. We always are praying. So we pray even when we're discouraged. And when God's people are discouraged and they pray in their trouble, they experience hope. God brings hope back to their life. And when God's people live in hope, they obey God, even when the despair and trouble keeps going. So tonight, let's think about how God renews our spiritual despair. There'll never be a time when we live on this earth where we won't have seasons of trouble and discouragement. It's going to happen to us all. And so we know, we learned about the Lord Jesus last week in the book of Hebrews. He offered up strong crying and tears to the one who would hear him. So Jesus understood. He was the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We're talking about now our Lord Jesus Christ, the suffering one, the man of sorrows, the one who understood despair, the dark despair that comes from sin. And the dark despair that comes to the soul. You know, our soul, when the Old Testament talks about our soul, it's talking about our inner emotions, how we feel. It's talking about our mind and our will and our emotions. So when David uses the word soul, he's describing our mind and our will and our emotions. Sometimes our minds aren't where they ought to be. We have a great day with God, and the next day we can't even put two words together to pray. What happened? We went to bed, but now we can't even pray. It is the human struggle. to walk with God. And it always is up and down, our mind, our will, our emotions. So first of all, we must tell God how we feel inside. This is so very good for us to see this. On the way up the ladder, as we ascend in obedience, as we've read each of these sections, now we're stalled, we're stopped, and all of a sudden it seems like we've fallen back to the bottom. My soul languishes for your salvation. Sounds almost like what we read earlier in verse 25. My soul cleaves to the dust. These descriptions give us an idea of how much despair can grip us, can control our minds, and control our wills, and control our emotions. My soul, I'm reading from the New American Standard, my soul languishes. So the idea is my soul is miserable. I'm miserable on the inside. My soul languishes, notice, for your salvation. I'm struggling because I need you to deliver me, God. I'm in a hard situation. I need you to deliver me. And yet deliverance hasn't come. My soul languishes for your salvation, and I wait for your word. Now notice these descriptions of how the psalmist describes how he feels. Notice he says, my soul, verse 81, my soul languishes for your salvation. Verse 82. This is poetic. My eyes fail with longing for your word. My eyes are failing me. I'm squinting. I'm watching so much, my eyes are growing heavy. My eyes are failing. I can't even see anymore, which is tied to hope. My eyes fail with longing for your word. And then we have this strange phrase, though I have become. So here's one who's obeyed God. Here's somebody who's walked with God. So, you know, sometimes we hear this from people. Well, you know, if you trust the Lord, believe in God, everything's going to be great. I'm just going to read it to you. Though I have become like a wineskin in the smoke. A wineskin in the smoke. So we have failing eyes. You know, if you put some kind of skin in a smokehouse or a smoke room, you know, it dries it out. It dries it up. So you have failing eyes and wrinkled and worn bones, just dried up. Maybe I'm describing how you feel today. Spiritual despair. My soul is just miserable. My eyes are failing because I cannot see any hope. And I'm just like a skin hanging in a smoker. And I'm just about dried out. There's just not much left. We learn from Proverbs 17:22, a broken spirit dries up the bones. A broken spirit dries up the bones. In fact, let me read that entire proverb, Proverbs 17:22. A joyful heart is good medicine. A joyful heart is good medicine. So I said, I just don't ever feel well. I want to ask you this, not because it's not a physical thing, but we always rush to see if we have a physical problem. I want to ask you, is it a spiritual problem that makes you feel like you do? Are you in despair spiritually? Another pill's not going to change it. Another doctor's appointment's not going to change it. You need to come back to the Word of God and spend time with the Lord. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Have you ever lived in a season where your bones just are dried up? You're just dried up. There's no moisture. There's no life. There's no joy. There's no satisfaction. You're just miserable. Your eyes are failing, and you just feel like you're shriveled up, wrinkled up, and worn out. That's the condition of this one who's obeyed God. this one who has been so obedient to the Lord. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12, I didn't put it in your notes, but is another verse that reminds us of this very important truth of spiritual despair. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. When hope is delayed, the heart gets sick. There's despair. And I have to say to you, as a pastor, you know, many times I meet with people, and I love to meet with people and talk with them and hear their story. But so many times we've done everything else to try to gain hope, but we've not gone to the simple path, this path of being willing to say, whatever's coming in my life, I'm going to obey God. And I wanted to read to you from Hebrews 4. It's a very familiar verse to most of us here tonight. This is a very knowledgeable crowd. But I want to remind you about the throne of grace. Hebrews 4:14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold on tight to our confession. We've confessed Jesus as Lord. No matter what goes on in the world, hold on to your confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, our despair. He can sympathize with our despair. But one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. To the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Such good verses that we need to meditate on. So God renews our spiritual despair. You've got to draw near to the throne of grace. You must come before our high priest, the Lord Jesus. He's the one who ushers us into the presence of God. He is our high priest. He is our representative before God. You come before the high priest, the Lord Jesus, and you come to him and you say, here is how I feel. I'm like a smoke. I'm like wineskin in the smoke. My eyes are failing. Failing eyes. You know, failing eyes, one preacher commented, reminds us of impatience. Failing eyes. When your eyes fail, it's a sign of impatience. We know that the psalmist has been going through some hard times. We know about affliction. Look at verse 75. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. We've talked about affliction. We'll talk about it in a moment. So he's in the midst of trouble. And he's in this trouble, and yet he's feeling despair. And what I want to say to you is, look, that's the way we all feel. That's what happens to us all. Some of us try to do the I'm the bulletproof Christian deal. It doesn't work. We have been blessed, and we have, our hearts can be broken. We can live in despair. We can feel like a wineskin in the smoke with failing eyes and a soul trapped in misery. But then we read on. He gives us some other indicators of what it means to be in despair. When we're miserable, verse 81, when we are losing our hope in God's help, look at verse 82. When will you comfort me? This is the kind of praying we do in despair. It's not that we shouldn't do it, but this is the way we say. This is what we start to say to the Lord. When will you help me? When will you comfort me? God, you've promised to do all this for me. When will you do it? I'm languishing away. I'm miserable. I'm restless. My eyes are fainting. My body's drying up. We lose our hope in God's help. We start to slide in our hopefulness in God. My eyes fail with my longing while I say, When will you comfort me? Now notice there are three questions here that are asked. Verse 82, when will you comfort me? Notice in verse 64, how many are the days of your servant? In other words, how long is this going to last? And then, when will God help me? 84, when will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? And above that, how many are the days of your servant? So see, you catch these three questions, and you realize something. I mentioned this Sunday night, and not all of us were able to be here, but remember what the Bible says. One day is as 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years as a day. The Lord is not bound by time. Our God is an eternal God, above time. We are living in time. So the pain and struggles, the afflictions that we are in, are in the time we're in. Notice these are all time-based questions. When, how long? When and how long? We know that that's been the question of God's saints forever, from the beginning. In fact, we even read in the book of Revelation these amazing words in Revelation chapter 6, verse number 10. When the fifth seal is opened, when the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they, the martyrs, cried out with a loud voice at the altar in this place of mystery. We don't understand. In the presence of God, they cried out, "How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" How long? All through the Psalms, David and others, how long? These are words, these are questions that are tied to time. We want to know how long. The answer isn't how long. The answer is, will we obey no matter how long? Will we say, "You have dealt well," verse 65, "with your servant according to your word"? Will we be willing to say that? We feel lifeless on the inside, wrinkled up, dried up. So you see, that's the description of spiritual despair. But there's something encouraging here. In the midst of obeying God, you know, there comes to be a strength that you can believe God and obey God even when you're at your worst. You know, weak faith is still faith. Did you know that? Sometimes people say to me, "Well, my faith's not strong." Faith is faith. Whether it's strong or weak or in the middle or whatever, it's faith. Faith and trust in God. So there is this faint, weak faith. Look at this. We cling to our faith in God, even in despair. This is the story of those who are obeying God, who've been learning to walk with God and to gain their comfort from God's Word. Look, that's why we do this. That's why we read God's Word. It's why we listen to God's Word, so that we're comforted in our troubles. It doesn't remove our troubles, but we gain in our comfort trouble. We gain in our troubles comfort from the Word of God until He saves us or delivers us. So look at these phrases. They're beautiful parallels. My soul languishes, but I wait for your word. Or your Bible may read, I hope for your word. You see, we read it and we read what Jesus said and we say, you know, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. There it is. Red letter words. Do we believe it or not? We have to decide. I wait, I hope in your word, Jesus. Oh, also he says, I remember your word. 83, though I've become like a wineskin in the smoke. Look at this. I do not forget your statutes. He's not practicing forgetfulness. You know, Remember what James talks about how we look in the mirror and then we, you know, if you're not being a doer of the word but a hearer only, it's like the person who looks at themselves in the mirror and then goes away and forgets what they look like. It's like the children of Israel forgot all the things that they were commanded to do. Forgetfulness. So look, the life and all that goes on in our lives can cause forgetfulness of God's word. That's why we memorize it. We talked about that a few weeks ago. We put God's word in our minds so that we don't forget it. Even after long periods of time. Well, here sits Sid over here. Sid Goodwin. Sid used to be in a business where he had to make presentations all over the country. I'm going to go ahead and tell it on you. So I was with him the other day, and this is many years ago. Sid's still a young man, but this was many years ago. And he had to memorize these things, and I said, Sid, and we were talking about memorizing God's word, and that you never are too old to memorize God's word. I said, Sid, give me a little bit of one of your speeches. He broke right into that speech. If I called on him, he'd stand up and give it to you right now. You put it in your mind. I remember your word. Even though I'm dried up. Listen, this is it. I'm trying to give you hope. I study God's word. I pray. I put it in my mind. I meditate on God's word. In the midst of my deepest despair, when my eyes are failing, when I feel like a wineskin in the smoke, when I feel miserable on the inside, when I feel lifeless, I remember your word. And then I don't forsake your word. They almost destroyed me in the earth, but as for me, I did not forsake your precepts. Verse 87. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world, whether it's weak faith or not. So what does James tell us? I want you to go with me in your Bible while we're thinking about faith in God in the midst of trouble to some famous verses in the book of James. So go to the back of your New Testament to James chapter 1, and let's look at what James, one of our spiritual fathers, would tell us about how we deal with trouble and despair. James 1, 2, and 3. We know these words. Many of you in here teach. You've taught these words. But let's apply them to our own life. Look at this. Consider it all joy. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various troubles. When you encounter various troubles. Look at this. Knowing, here's something. You've got to know this. This is a fact. Put this in your mind. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance, however your Bible translates it. So if my eyes are fainting, which is an illustration of impatience, now because I have sought to obey God and I've learned how when I encounter trials as a Christian, it's testing my faith. So you can pick any one. You know, I'm looking around here. We all know, this is God's family at First Baptist Church. A lot of us are together a lot of the time. We know a lot of our own stories. Could pick any one of you. You could pick something from my life. Consider it joy when you encounter trouble. It is a testing of your faith. It doesn't say it's a testing of strong faith. It just says it's a testing of your trust, your faith in God. Such a good verse. Such a good, wonderful reminder to us. So we see God renews us in spiritual despair, and in spite of all the trouble and pain and struggle that the man of God is experiencing here, he clings to his faith in God, even in despair. Now let's go to the next thought and realize that not only, not only do we have to tell God how we feel, but we have to ask God for help in times of trouble. So here's the, I always talk to you about the hinge verse of the psalm. The hinge verse is verse 86. All your commandments are faithful. All your commandments are faithful. They have persecuted me with a lie. Here it is. Help me. Help me. Sometimes the only thing we can pray are those two words. Help me. Help me. I don't know what to do. Help me. Help me. You see, sometimes we are so overwhelmed by the circumstance that we're in, we forget what God is trying to do on the inside in our lives. He's taking these things to make us like Christ. Nothing that's occurring in your life is an accident. God is good all the time, as we talked about Sunday morning. And because He's good all the time, everything He does is good. And everything that He allows to happen in our life is good. Now that takes faith to believe that. So we have to ask God. First, we tell Him how we feel. Secondly, we ask God for help in times of trouble. So let's go back real quick and look at this path of affliction that our friend has been on. Oh, is it easy to obey God? Well, of course, when everything seems to be wonderful, when there seems to be no cloud, when there seems to be no rain, when there seems to be no trouble, it's easy to obey God. But when there's trouble and when there's affliction, that is when we must check and see whether we're willing to obey God. So let's look at the path of affliction. Verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me. Now that is a good verse. That's a good verse to pray. This is my comfort in affliction. In it. Here's how I get comfort in it. Your word. The word of God. I go to God's word for comfort. In it. Not after it. Not before it. In it. Then notice. He says in verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. And we've talked much about that. Before I was afflicted, but in affliction, I learned to obey God. Then we learned in the path of affliction goes to verse 71. It is good for me that I was afflicted so that I could learn your statutes. Takes a lot of spiritual maturity and understanding to pray and say, it's good, listen, it's good for me to be afflicted. It's better for me to be afflicted than not. See, we always pray to be delivered from affliction. But the psalmist says, it is good that I was afflicted. Have you been able to say that in your life? You need to be able to say that in your life. That's part of growing in our maturity in Jesus. Jesus said that the blessed ones are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. That's what Jesus said in the Beatitudes. Those are direct blessings that describe the characteristics of followers of Jesus. Peter enlarges on it, and I'll just read it to you. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, but even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. So you say, well, I'm going to stand for Jesus and I'm going to say something to somebody about Jesus and they don't respond well and they either make fun of you, reject you, or turn away. You're blessed when you suffer righteousness. And then Peter reminds us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that we have an enemy who seeks to destroy us. Be sober and be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil. I'm looking around all my friends here. Your adversary, the devil. Your adversary. Not the preacher's adversary. Not the church's adversary. Your adversary. He's after you. To destroy and discredit your commitment to Jesus. Oh, Pastor Mike, you're still one of those ones that believes in the devil? Pretty much. Pretty much. Pretty much. Oh, I'm going to take a step toward Jesus. You got an adversary who's going to try to step in and stop you. So how does the Lord allow it? What does He do? How does He allow and permit affliction and trouble and allow the devil to do what he does? Why? That is the mystery of walking with God and trusting that it is good for me to be afflicted, even if the Lord permits the devil, the evil one, to attack and do things in my life. We must ask God to help us in times of trouble. So these troubles, this affliction in the life of the psalmist was heavy. The problem was that the affliction, he saw the affliction as good. Listen, but I don't think he understood how long the affliction might last. That's where I get stuck. Well, Lord, I'm okay with this for a while. I can do it. I'm a man. And then it goes on and on and on and on. And on, year upon year, year after year. It never seems to stop. And then we start to think, well, I thought God cared about me. Well, don't go there. We learn from the psalmist that's not good thinking. He does care about you. He cares about me. That He would allow this in my life because He is seeking to do something in me to make me more like Jesus. This is the work of making us holy. God renews our spiritual despair when we ask God to renew us in our trouble. Look at verse number 88. Revive me according to your loving kindness. Revive me according to your loving kindness. You know, we've seen this before, haven't we? Revive me. Revive me. Renew me. Renew me. Okay, I want to go back and I want to do just a review of something we've talked about at length over the years. But I want you to turn your Bible to Romans chapter 12 for just a moment. If you have a Bible, find your place there. Romans chapter 12. Revive me according to your loving kindness so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Now, I want you to notice that the prayer is this: renew me by your love. Renew me by your love. Notice he didn't say renew me by your power. Renew me by your love. God's love renews us and restores us. You know, I really wonder sometimes as I talk with people about this and I say to them, do you know that God loves you? How many people don't really believe God loves them? Well, I know the Bible says it. You'll hear that comment. No, the Bible says it. It's true. He loves you. The loving kindness of God is at the center. He is a God of great mercy and compassion. We saw it in Psalm 145 on Sunday morning. God is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. He has shown loving kindness to every one of us in here. Would you agree? Anybody tonight? Would you agree? He's shown you and me loving kindness. So here in Romans chapter 12, we're reminded, do not be conformed, verse 2, to this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind. That means you have to renew your mind a lot more often than your driver's license or your hunting license or your fishing license. You have to renew your mind all the time. So I'm asking you tonight, do you see how despair is tied to your mind? How long? When? How long? We start to get distracted in our pain and our mind starts to run. Here's what he asks. Lord, would you love me? And love me in my trouble and love me in my despair. Look at Psalm 119:76. Oh, may your loving kindness comfort me. Look at verse 88. We just read it. Revive me according to your loving kindness. Look at verse 124. Deal with your servant according to your loving kindness. Look at 149. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. Look at 159. Consider how I love your precepts and revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. What the psalmist wanted was God to love him and renew him. We are renewed when we know we are loved. We are renewed when we know we are loved. You know, remember, we talked about it many weeks ago, 1 John 3. Behold the kind of love that God has shown to you, that you should be called children of God. And then I would just read you these profound words of Psalm 41 as we're finishing up. Listen to these words. Psalm 41, verse number 11. He says, But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up that I may repay them. And listen, by this I know that you are pleased with me, because my enemy does not shout in triumph over me. You see, there's the prayer. You love me and you will take care of me no matter what my enemy seeks to do to me. So, God renews our spiritual despair. So as we finish tonight, I want to ask you these four questions. I hope you'll take them home and take this seriously. I know you do. We all come here and we do. We take this very seriously, and many of you have been here, and you've been here as much as you can, and we've tried to walk through these words together. So let me ask you this question tonight. First of all, as we think about renewing our spiritual despair, have you told God how you feel spiritually? Well, some of us in this room have a hard time telling anybody how we feel. But you have to learn in prayer how to tell the Lord how you feel. That's what the Psalms teach us. You know, the whole series, this whole thing's called A Heart for God. How do I develop a heart for God? I learn to tell God how I feel and not be ashamed, whatever it is. Second, are you waiting in faith for God to help you? There's something going on in your life. Your idea is it ought to be this, but perhaps that's not God's idea. And you are troubled, deeply troubled, constantly troubled, maybe for years troubled, because you have an idea that in faith God should help you in a certain way, rather than just saying, I'm going to trust God to do whatever He needs to do, whatever it is. Third, and I hope you'll take these home and in your own prayer time reflect on them. How have you asked God to renew you in your despair and trouble? Not when you're happy, not when everything's just glorious, but in your despair, just pray this prayer. Revive me according to your love. Just revive me. And finally, are you willing to obey God even in your troubles? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in, don't forget it, the whole song. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Not just happy. A lot of people out tonight think they're happy. Happy in Jesus, that's a whole different thing, isn't it? Being happy in Jesus. But to trust and obey. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. And so we come tonight. If it's not us, Lord, in despair at the moment, it's our friends, it's our family, it's others we know. So we pray for all of the family of God that they might have whatever faith they have, that they might be able to see and understand that you are good and that you love us and permit what comes in our lives so that we might learn to trust you and be more like Jesus. So we trust and we obey. Some of us, our eyes are failing us. Some of us feel like wineskins in the smoke. Some of us feel miserable. Some of us are just throwing out question after question. Why, when, how? Why, when, how? Lord, help us to all tonight say, revive me according to your loving kindness. And may you bless us as a people as we seek to obey you when you renew us. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said,
amen.
Amen. All right, we'll see you.